Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to add a little P.S. on about the deacons in this church. We have five deacons who are elected for a 3-year term. And if you, each of your men would stand, all five of you, if you'd stand, please. Now, please, 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 please. Okay, there's our five deacons. Okay, thank you. I have a deep respect for each and every one of them. Each and every one of them are men in their realm. They're not yes men, and that's for certain. And I really rely heavily on their wisdom. And if you know, in our meetings, we, you know, people think you're supposed to have them every month, but we don't do that. But we really sincerely try to do what we believe is right for this church, and we really hash things out and discuss it amongst ourselves and leave in agreement. And it's a blessing. It's a real blessing in case somebody tries to, if anybody has any ideas of manipulating any one of them, trying to get the other four to change, don't count on it. It ain't going to work. Because we're just each on our own, believe in serving the Lord faithfully. And it's, I tell you, I count it a great privilege. A lot of church, a lot of preachers complain about their deacons. They call them demons. I've heard them joke that time and time again, the demons that I've got. And to me, that's somebody that don't have their focus on the book. When your focus is on the book, everything just kind of falls in play. And so it's a great blessing. Oh, you'll have bumps in the road, but anybody's got bumps in the road. So it's a great blessing. I really highly respect and appreciate these men, that's for certain. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Let's go ahead and pray before we get going on this. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words. I pray you'd help us recognize what you have done, what you have set up. Help us to become a pleasure of yours and help us to fellowship with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So now he's going down to creation story. These are 6 24-hour days here. Now, the time period between verse 1 and verse 2, where the earth was without form, that could have been another couple thousand years. Because there was a flood in verse 2, you see, where the whole earth was covered with water. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That was a flood prior to Adam. Then you have the creation. Now, the purpose of this creation, the focal point, is in verse 26. Why did God do all this? Why did God create the earth, put all these little animals on there? Why did he do all that? Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. If you pick up on the plural pronouns, that's us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image, even though the Jews didn't recognize that. They would run to Hebrew and say Elohim and this and that and this. They did not know of God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Okay, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So, right there is the focal point. That is the big deal right there. Here we are at the beginning of a new year, a new month, a new week, a new day, and that allows a new beginning, a new start. And let's make it a year, each and every one, to work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. Learn to talk to him throughout the day and develop a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here is where the focal point is. If you would look in chapter 3, this is what God was doing before man sinned. God would come to the garden and seek out fellowship with Adam. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's what man has been doing since the fall of sin. hiding from God. He's been hiding from Him. Now, I've watched people actually do this, where they think they're hiding, where you knock on a door and they know somebody's out there from the church, they know you're out there, they won't answer the door. You're hiding! Okay, that's what they're doing. They're hiding from God. Now, people who are hiding from God, they recognize that in their body, there's a void. There's an empty space in their body. And that empty space is in that body because God wants every one of us to fellowship with Jesus Christ. And until you begin to fellowship with Him, that space is going to stay void. Now, man knows that empty space. He's trying to figure out how to get that filled, how to get pleasure in that. And so man, in his conscience, thinks, well, if I go to church, if I get in a religion, then I can come to God when I want to. Come to God according to my terms. That's what religion is. It's man trying to appease his conscience. Okay, I came on Sundays, you know, God, so maybe you'll do me a good turn. Okay, that's man trying to appease his conscience. Now, Satan also is the greatest developer of religions. He develops most religions. And he does it in order to deceive man so that man might fellowship with him. Paul wrote to the people in Corinth and he said, ye cannot drink the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. Ye cannot have fellowship with devils and with God. Can't do it. Notice the word there is fellowship. Developing a relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 3, the first question is asked by a being and a Satan casting doubt on what God said. The first question asked by God is in Genesis 3 verse 8, where he said verse 9, where art thou? God is looking for Adam. Where are you at? Now it's interesting, the first question in the New Testament that was asked by man is, where is he born king of the Jews? Now God asked the question, where are you, Adam? With the intent to fellowship with him. Herod asked the question in Matthew 2, where is he that's born the king of the Jews? With the intent to kill him. Two different attitudes there. God wants to fellowship with you and I, each and every one of us individually. It's not some mystical thing that you get into. It's not some monk who walks around with a big robe and he's close to God. You know, and all that stuff. God just wants you and I to walk with him. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? He just wants you to agree with him. That's all he wants. That's his purpose. That's why he created the earth. That's why he created Lucifer, so man could have a choice between God and the devil. And God designed this entire thing so that he can have fellowship with someone who is of like mind. That's what the Lord is looking for. Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and then it says, and God took him. He got raptured out. Wouldn't that be good for us? Walk with God until you get raptured out? Noah walked with God, and God saved him from the drowning of the entire world, destruction of the world. Noah walked with God. Most people simply want God out of their lives. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. But God is busy trying to seek them. He wants to have fellowship. You see, and that's what God is desiring. He wants to be wanted. In Luke chapter 24, the events is recorded there about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And two men were talking about this, or two fellows, or two people talking about this on the road. They're just walking on a road. It's called Emmaus Road sometimes. And they're discussing about the events of the past week, where they saw, I don't know if they saw Christ crucified, but they're discussing the crucifixion. And the news had spread around that his body's gone. He got resurrected. And they're trying to figure this out. And Jesus Christ comes walking beside him in his resurrected body. They didn't recognize who he was. And they're talking away, and then he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And then he starts showing them some Bible references about himself. He did not tell them that those references were about him. He just started showing them things from Genesis all the way through Malachi, you know, about the Christ. And boy, they got thrilled about that. They came to a fork in the road where they were going to go one direction, and it says that the Lord made as though he was going to go further. I like that. He made as though he's going to go further. And they wanted him to come with them, but he acted like, no, I got to go that way. And then they constrained him, it says, begged him, oh, come on, you got to come with us. You see, what God wants is what you want. He wants to be wanted. He wants to be wanted because people want him. He wants to be liked. Now, he is not going to compromise his holiness and justice to do that. But he wants to be wanted. I give you some thoughts about fellowship with God this morning. The first thought is very short, very quick. The purpose of the creation is simply for the pleasure of God. Revelation 4, verse 11. That's why he did it. The reason why God created the universe and everything is for his pleasure. It's the same reason why you buy certain items when you go to the store. You buy certain items, why? For your pleasure. I don't think you buy something because you don't want to, unless you're forced to. Okay, but you buy items. You get a dog, you get a cat, you get something. Why? It's for your pleasure. You see? And your thing is, that's why we do things. You have a certain friend. Why? Because they please you. And so this is why God does things. This is why you and I do things. The second thought I want to give you is the main aspect of God's pleasure is the fellowship with man. How does he do that, though? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So what God did is he created a world. Then he put life on it. Put light, put water, put land, put animals, put trees, put flowers, put all these things on it. Why did he do that? Do you know you and I do the same thing? And then he put that in man's heart. What did he put in man's heart? The desire to create things and the desire to conquer things. So what do you do when you see a little boy getting his army toys out, his G.I. Joes, and sets them up? And he's got his whole war thing going on. He's conquering. When I was a kid, you know, being raised on a farm, I had all these farm toys, tractors, you know, and everything. And I'd lay out a field, and I'd go back and forth. And I was doing a real thing, too, about fifth grade. You know, I was out in a tractor, a big whopping 4 foot 9 inches long, tall, and driving a tractor down a road to sixth grade and everything. And one time the dual wheels just fell off and the thing wheels go rolling and I'm in the middle of the road, you know, and everything. But that's what boys do. That's what kids do. They play. They play with these toys like God created this universe. Why do they play? Their playing is developing relationships for the future. They want to create, they want to conquer like God. What does God do? He says, take dominion. That's what sports is about. It's conquering something. You see, and men want to do that. Today, boys push little buttons and look at screens. They're not playing. They're not out. You know, of course, in this society, you know, you can't have guns. Don't have a gun. And everything. Well, if you take the guns away from the kids to play guns and everything, they'll get a stick out and pretend. It's funny, in Australia, they can't have guns anymore. Jonathan wants a BB gun so bad. I went and bought a BB gun. But I don't want to send it to him. Because if he gets caught with a BB gun, they'd throw him right in jail. In that culture, isn't that amazing? Can't even have a knife on you. You know, some of you may have a pocket knife on you. You can't have that in Australia. Unless you work at a job and you have to have a knife on your job. But yet, and once you leave your job, you have so many minutes to get home. And if you get stopped by a cop in that time, okay, you're okay. But once you get home, you got to put that knife in the house. You know, you can't walk the streets with a knife. And it used to be they'd get ticketed. And now they take them right to jail. No questions asked. That's down under. That's what they want to do in our country. But what is that? Man, little boys, they want to conquer things. They want to create things. They want to play. And that playing is much like what God is doing. Little girls, what do? Little girls, they play with dolls. You know, and then they get their kitchen set out and they cook.
and they get their tea set out and all those things. What are they doing? They are developing relationships in life. The purpose of play is growth in life, and it develops companionship. You see, that's what that's designed to do. Now, you see the little girl's talking with her doll, and she's playing with her doll, and that's sweet, innocent little things. Now, there is a danger if a child gets talking to unseen spirits. My pet monster's in that closet. I have a pet, and they're hearing voices. And somebody's talking to them, and it ain't God. You see? They're listening to a voice, and you got to be careful about these things in this age of witchcraft that's full and running over all across this country. Witchcraft is fast, and these young kids are getting power. They're getting power, and this is absolute power from unclean spirits. And if these parents don't know how to combat that, if they don't have Jesus Christ, they will be victims. There's no guessing on this. It's all, I mean, you hear of accounts of guys in jail that they say God told me to kill them. Maybe a God did, but not the God. You see, but the idea, the main aspect of God's pleasure is for fellowship with man. The main aspect of biblical Christianity is your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you would, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A lot of times after a soul is won to Christ, a lot of times soul winners, you know, that try to teach a presentation of the gospel, they'll usually show you that you got to help that individual to grow in their grace, grow in faith. And what do you want to teach them? Well, I know the Baptists, they usually want to win them and wet them. Oh, he's got to get them wet. No, they need to, if they've repented toward God, that's what salvation is, repenting toward God, faith in Jesus Christ. When they have turned toward that God, what is follow-up? It's just simply continuing the same thing. It's continuing to fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at it in verse 9. This letter was written to baby Christians. What is the most important thing they need to know? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Talk to Jesus Christ. Have fellowship with him. If you would, look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I don't have to say, does the Lord speak to you? I know he does. The question is, do you recognize his voice? John chapter 10, 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you listen to him? Do you talk to him? Do you have fellowship with him? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You see, you will not have a satisfying joy within your being until you fellowship with Jesus Christ. That void will not be filled until you individually fellowship with Jesus Christ. When I talk about fellowship, I'm not talking about your devotions. I'm not talking about your devotions, you know, where you get out maybe a daily bread and read the selected scripture verses, you know, 10 verses or so, read the writer's little comments, and then go the rest of your day like there's no God. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your special time in the morning or any time you have your time with God. That's a good thing to do. I'm talking about fellowshipping him with God throughout the day. If you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, you know, the Jewish guy, he talks to God throughout the day. You know, he kind of gets sacrilegious maybe sometimes, but you know, God wants somebody to talk to him. Jonah got mad at God, and God was pretty patient with him. He just wants you and I to be honest. I don't know why people want to be dishonest with God. He's reading their heart anyway. They're just fooling themselves. But still, he wants you and I to fellowship with him. And when you fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a joy that you cannot describe. It's like that first song we sang this morning, sweeter as the days go by. That song was kind of slow, the chorus, and then you just pick it up. You're going downhill during this chorus. You just slow it again. You pick it up. It's like you're going up and down the hills through the mountains. But the idea is the Lord wants to fellowship with you and I. Verse 5, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The word fellowship is only found 2 times in the Old Testament. It's found 15 times in the New Testament. The first occurrence is Acts 2:42. And why that's significant is because that's when the church got going in there, a full board. And it says they had in common the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And then you read what Paul said, that he wants you and I to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That is the bottom line of biblical Christianity, is your fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's not religion. That's you walking with Jesus Christ. That's you cutting out the middleman. That's you going right to the source, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the middleman between you and God the Father. Not Mary, not your priest, not your rabbi, not me, not another believer. Another believer will help hold your hand as you begin to walk with Jesus Christ. As you fall down, they'll hold you up. But eventually, it's got to be you and Jesus Christ walking. You walking with him, you talking with him. And the what's going to encourage that, if you are in 1 John, go to chapter 3 and see what he's done for you. Recognize his great love for his children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." That's only for believers. Sometimes you may hear the world talk about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. They might say all man is created in God's image. That's not true. That is not true. Adam was created in God's image. Everyone after Adam was created in the image of their parents. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Seth was created, born in the image of his father, Adam. You're not born in the image of the Heavenly Father. You're not born in the image of God until you get born again. Until then, every man is a child of the devil. Or a child of disobedience, Ephesians 2 says. And when a man gets born again, they switch families. You become a child of the King. I mean, it's just granted. You say, for how long? Forever. You're born into his family. Now, you may not be acting like him, verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You see, it don't appear what we shall be, but we are the Son of God now. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You see, the hope is that you know Jesus Christ is going to come back. And can you imagine if you catch yourself where you get yourself in a bad situation where a believer is not to be, and the rapture takes place, and you're right in the presence of Jesus Christ, and then it dawned on you where you came out of. Where was I? Oh my God. I was there. You'd be embarrassed. You got your hand in a cookie jar when he said, keep it out. You see, to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ can call you home at the rapture anytime. And that should help a person live a pure life. You see, the depth, the height, the length of God's love. Now, the catch in this is knowing the voice of God. If you would look at Psalms 29. You hear it so often, hopefully, that you're supposed to fellowship with God. A lot of times people say, you're supposed to fellowship with God. You're supposed to walk with God. You walk with God. Walk with God. That is your most important relationship. But how do you do it? How do you do that? Psalms 29. Now, obviously, if you're going to fellowship with God, you've got to hear his voice. Now, I'm not saying audibly. Years and years ago on Mount Sinai one day, there was a nation that was around that mountain, Mount Sinai, and God spoke audibly to them. And they got so scared, they said, Moses, you go talk to them. Man, that scares us. And God said, you're smart. That's good. Good idea. And I'll talk to Moses. I don't know about you. I would have rather been Moses. Talk to him. Have fellowship with him. Knowing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. How is God's voice made known? How can you recognize his voice? You see, and that's the thing we need to learn. To recognize the voice of God. Distinguish between God's voice and the devil's voice. Or devils. Distinguish between God's voice and your voice. You see, in Psalms 29, it's interesting, you find the phrase, voice of God, seven times, if I counted right. Psalms 29, it starts off, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. If God did speak audibly to you, that's what it would sound like. Thunder. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. What's that? Some type of a tornado or hurricane. Not a hurricane in there, probably more of a tornado. Whirlwind. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh, earthquake. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, this is the voice of the Lord. Learn to recognize that voice. Like I said, it's not going to be audible, but it will be words. God speaks to you and I through words. Animals communicate by sound. You see, that's how animals communicate. That's what sets us apart different from animals. We communicate by words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Animals have seven basic sounds that they communicate, and they will animals recognize the tone of your voice, not the words. You can say, good dog, and that, ooh, scares that dog. You can say, that's a bad dog. That's a real bad boy. You're ugly. And he'll come right up to you. He don't listen to the words. Now, people in our society are getting gravitated to the tone of your voice. You see, and that's because they think they came from animals. And a politician can say, oh, you're just so wise to vote for me. And nice flowing words. And a sucker will vote for the guy. You see, where a Bible prophet will proclaim the words of God straight and plain, and people say, oh, that's a guy of hate. Listen to his voice. Yeah, it's about like somebody when you're driving over, before you drive over a bridge that's down, he's yelling and screaming, don't go there, don't go. Oh, you need to have, you hate. No, I'm trying to save your life, you idiot. You see? But ignore the tone of the voice. Listen to the words. God speaks by words. In Romans chapter 12, he says, he talks about the transforming of the renewing of your mind. If you would look in Ephesians chapter 4, this is probably the best one. Ephesians chapter 4, it's the renewing of your mind. God's voice is going to make impressions of words in your mind, in your heart. Ephesians 4 verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's recognizing the voice of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God. Okay, the thing is, when you get words or a thought come into your mind, you have to discern where that came from. God or the devil? The world or myself? If it came from the world, that's the devil's crowd. Where did that come from? Now, how are we going to figure this thing out? Well, God gave us a book to judge the words. Now, God's words are made known to us through this book right here. That's your main source. Now, when you hear of somebody speaking of words that go contrary to this book, you can mark it down. That's not God. Or Robert said years ago, you know, on occasion, the Holy Spirit will speak contrary to the Scriptures. No, He won't. Earl is wrong on that. The Holy Ghost goes by what this book says. That's our main source. Now, people, because of their self-righteous spirit, they gravitate toward the spectacular. So they always want God to speak to them in a miraculous way. And what that is, that's man is just trying to show you how special he is. Several years ago, I had a lady came to Rensselaer Church. And after church, she said, I want to tell you a story. I said, okay, what's that? She says, I was laying in bed and I saw an image of Jesus silhouette on my ceiling. I said, oh, okay. She said, what was that? I said, an image of a silhouette of Jesus on your ceiling. She said, well, what do you think that meant? I said, well, I think it meant that there was an image of a silhouette of Jesus on your ceiling. Oh, don't you think it had meaning? I think I repeated it. She said, what? I think it's because I was special. Ah! That's where it's at. All these apparitions and visions that people have, they want to tell you about. What they want is they want people to ooh and ah about them. And what that is, that's designed to do is draw attention to man. The story of Fatima and three Portuguese children. Mary showed up 6 months in a row on the Friday on the 13th day of the month. And they want you and I to ooh and ah about that miraculous thing. You see, something that's miraculous to us is not miraculous to God. And when people do that, what they want to ignore what this book says. Oh, that's just how you get it. That's how common. Yeah, I'm commonplace. And this is how God has chose to do it today. You see? And so we just go back to this book. And when they want to always glorify themselves, this is a miraculous thing. You know? No, that's man bragging about himself, putting himself in the position where people are going to ooh and ah about him rather than ooh and ah about God. That's self-righteousness. Look at me, look at me, look at me, what I saw. Oh, Oral Roberts, I saw a 900-foot Jesus. Well, I saw a 1,200-foot Jesus. You know, all your dreams and visions that people have. Now, God did make his words known. Numbers 12, verse 6 says, by dreams and visions before written revelation. Can God speak to you through your dreams? Yes, he can. Yeah, he can. But I would discount most of my dreams as bad pizza late at night. Always in your dreams, you're always running slow motion, aren't you? Trying to get away from your guy. Some of my dreams, I'm preaching, and I look down, and I forgot to put my pants on. That's some of my dreams. I mean, you get all sorts of weird things nowadays. And you realize what's floating through the air is all these cell phones and all these television programs and all these radio stations. All that's floating through the air. And you see, not only does God speak this way, but Satan speaks this way. Kid gets in a dark room, two or three of them, they get around and have a seance. And they want to see this spectacular. Why? Because I'm special. If you move up the satanic, you know, ladder, maybe someday you'll get illumined and become one of the illumined ones. The Illuminati, where they think they're gods. They think they're above people. What is that? Self-righteousness, that's all that is. You see, with God, a miracle is nothing. Several years ago, Hezekiah asked God for a sign. He says, what do you want him to do? Move the sun forward or backwards? Oh, I'd like to see him move it backwards. He moved the sun backwards for 40 minutes. It went backwards, took about 40 minutes off the time. People say, oh, that's miraculous. That's no more miraculous than a man taking a watch, pulling out the little knob, turning the clock backwards 40 minutes. From God's perspective, that's no more miraculous than that. From our perspective, that's amazing. You know, and a guy who's an atheist says, oh, I'm going to prove to you there's no God. I'm going to go out here and yell, oh, God, let's see you strike me down. Why would God mess around with a little idiot like that? Waste his time. Guy that was in hell one time talked to the rich man, Lazarus and Abraham, all that whole deal. And he says that guy, that rich man in hell said, well, if my brothers go back, you know, go back from hell, they'll listen to him. No, they won't. He said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if a man came back from hell. And you can go to the Christian bookstore right now. A bunch of people claim they died and went to heaven. A bunch of people claim they died and went to hell. You say, are they authentic? I have no idea. I don't really care. It might be entertaining to read their story. And maybe it doesn't contradict Scripture. I really don't know. And maybe it really happened to him. I just talked to a man a month ago. Told me that when he died, he said he had an unbelievable peace and comfort that came over him. And I mentioned about the Lord Jesus. He claimed to be saved. Maybe he was saved. I don't know. I know another man that was electrocuted, and he told me he had peace and comfort come over him too. But he didn't get saved for several years later. Jesus Christ said, the peace I give you is not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So Satan can give a counterfeit peace also. The thing is how do we recognize the voice of God from the voice of the devil? You see, it's words or thoughts that will enter your heart or mind. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, in sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past. Now, how does God speak? How does he make his words known to you? Okay, in Psalm 29, we'll see that God's voice is everywhere. You can see him speaking everywhere. It's just if you're listening. You see, a lot of times the Lord will make these impressions on you and show you, tell you, have you ever had a time where a thought came to your head, kind of gave you a forewarning, and you ignored the thought, and then it happened? You see, that could be the Lord. It could be the devil, too. It's hard to figure out. One time when I was building the down on the property, I had a big log. It's probably about a 45-foot log on that forklift. And I was coming around the barn, and a word came to mind, too big a log, you're going to hit that barn, too long. And I just thought, forget it, I didn't think too long. And I came around that barn, all of a sudden that thing just, tink, got a little dent in the barn. I'm leaving that there. Why? Lord told me about that. I'll leave it there for a while, you know, remind me. God speaks to you throughout the day. The voice of God, how do you recognize it? Now, the majority of time, the way God makes his words known is through a witness of some type. Man, woman, or child. A prophet of God. That's the majority way he's chosen to do it. Okay, obviously we got his book, so when a man quotes this book to you, that could be God speaking, but it could be the devil also. You see, but that's the majority way God makes his words known. That's how the devil makes his known. Is by a man or a woman or a child. If God can't find a man to give his words, he'll choose a woman like Deborah, like Ruth, like Esther. If he can't find a man or woman, he'll find a child like the little lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If he can't find a believer to give his words, he'll find an unsaved man. Now that might surprise some folks. I've heard God has spoke to me some on occasion through unsaved people. You know, even God will speak to you through some event of life throughout the day, some natural thing. God's voice was involved in the bearing of a animal. He said that he makes the hinds the calf. It's listening to God's voice. It's picking up on his voice, recognizing what he says. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, there's a good king named Josiah, one of the better kings. And Josiah was wanting to go to battle. And the unsaved enemy told Josiah, don't you do it. The enemy said, don't you do it. And the verse says, and God spoke through him. Josiah did not recognize that God can speak through an unsaved man. Josiah died in that battle. He didn't recognize God's voice. Came from a wicked man. Hey, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. Once in a while, the Pope will say something true. Once in a while, Obama might say something true. You see? Just by sheer accident. But God can speak to through these people, and God can use these people. And the thing is, you recognize his voice in everyday illustrations of life. God wanted to show something to Jeremiah. He wanted to give his words to Jeremiah. You know what he told him to do? He said, go down to the potter's house. Go down to the potter's house, and I want to tell you something. He went down to the potter's house and watched that potter work on that wheel. God's getting ready to speak to him. Every day of life, you can get something from the Lord if you just listen. He wants you and I to talk to him. And after he watched that potter and that wheel, then God spoke to him and showed him something. He said, look at that clay there. That's Israel. I'm the potter. And you're supposed to let me mold you like that potter's molding that clay. You see, you can find these illustrations everywhere God's voice is speaking. The Lord wants you to fellowship with him. Begin to talk to him, and he'll begin to talk back, and you'll have sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize that you want each and every one of us to fellowship with you. You want each and every one of us to talk to you and with you. Lord, help us to recognize thy voice. Help us to recognize that you want to speak to each and every one of us, not just in the morning, but throughout the entire day. Help us to pray and talk with thee. Help us to walk with thee. Help each and every one. Now, if somebody by chance in this room is not born again, is not saved, has not placed their faith and trust in Christ, they can't even begin to fellowship with you until they come to Jesus Christ and him alone. When they repent towards him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they can begin a wonderful walk with thee. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to develop this relationship. Learn to recognize your voice. Not audible, but recognize your voice. And to fellowship with you every moment of every day. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. The altar's open if you want it. All these natural catastrophes is happening in this country. That's God's voice. He breaketh the cedars in pieces and make them dance. Is Americans paying attention? Hurricanes, they call them acts of God. That's God's voice speaking. Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. No, it's not audible, but it will be words within one's heart and mind. Then we need to recognize the difference between the Lord's voice and devil's voices. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to come to the comfort suite near to the heart of God. Lord, I just pray you'd help each and every one of us to develop this close relationship with thee, to walk with thee, to talk with thee throughout every moment of every day, that we might just spend time with thee and recognize what we do, even in just common things of life, we could still fellowship and walk with thee, be faithful to thee, until we see you face to face, in Jesus' name, amen.